Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir and Bahaloska.
What's your problem?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, please. First of all, we're milkheads tonight. Thanks for asking. Just in case you didn't know, we will not have classes for the next 2 weeks. Next week there's no class, and then July 4th there is no class.
And we want
okay.
That's
number one.
We'll see fireworks.
Number three.
Resume July 11th.
We'll resume July 11th, and I want to thank those people who brought items here for the class. There's a couple of you that have, and the generosity is really appreciated. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
And I hope that you'll enjoy the class. I want to thank Rabbi Berger and Young Israel for being so generous and allowing us to have the class here week after week, and setting up for us and doing whatever they do for us. And I'd like to thank those people who helped me schlep in all the food and keep me company until all of you arrive. So thank you very much for all those that do that. And
you're welcome.
We're going to be davening Marav just a couple of minutes after class. So please take your phones and silence. Thank you.
All right. This week's Sedra is Parshas Bahaloska. Actually, in Chutz Laaretz, it's Bahaloska. In Eretz Yisrael, it's Shalach. Because this year, the last day of Pesach was a Shabbos. So we didn't read the regular Sedra, because it was Yontif. But in Eretz Yisrael, they only observe 7 days of Pesach, not 8 days of Pesach. So they're 1 week ahead of us. We will catch up. Anyway, so it's Parshas Bahaloska. And the opening topic of Parshas Bahaloska is the lighting of the candelabrum in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah. Now, there are three aspects to the lighting of the menorah. One is Dishan HaMenorah. What is Dishan HaMenorah? Dishan HaMenorah is when we, in a sense, get rid of the wicks that are no good. We get rid of the old oil. We wipe clean the area where the oil was. That's Dishan HaMenorah. Hatavas HaMenorah is the preparing of the menorah, for the lighting, putting in new oil, putting in new wicks, fixing the wicks. That's and then we have Hadlokas HaMenorah, the lighting of the menorah. Now, what is strange, and we'll probably touch on it, is that the Dishan HaMenorah and Hatavas HaMenorah, I'll refer to both of them as Hatavas, because basically it's preparing the menorah for the lighting, is more stringent than the lighting of the menorah. If the Hatavas HaMenorah is done by a czar, is done by a non-Kohen. So the it's puzzle. It's no good. And it has to be done in the Heichal. It has to be done in the Heichal, inside the Beis HaMikdash. And if a czar, a non-Kohen, does the Hatovas HaMenorah, the preparing of the menorah for the lighting, so he's Chayav Misa. However, in regard to the lighting of the menorah, the Rambam says that if you wanted a non-Kohen to light the menorah, you, after the Hatovas HaMenorah was done in the Heichal, after they fixed the menorah and they put the oil in and everything, and you wanted a non-Kohen to light it for whatever reason, you take the menorah outside and the non-Kohen could light it. And then it has... in the Chatzer, wherever, but out of its regular place, you know. And then you can return the menorah to its regular place. So it's very strange. The preparation for the lighting has to be done by a Kohen. And if it's not done by a Kohen, there's a Chiyuv Misa. If it's not done by a Kohen, it's no good, it's not valid. However, when it comes to the lighting of the menorah, according to the Rambam, the Ravid disagrees a little bit. He says, okay, but the Ebed would be kosher, he says. Even he submits to be kosher. He says, Ravid says it's not good to do that lechatchila. Okay, But the lighting of the menorah is kosher even if it was done by a non-Kohen. Okay. So, now, there is the Ramban asks a famous question. The Ramban was troubled. The end of last week's Sedra tells us that on the day of the dedication of the altar of the Mizbeach, the leaders of 12 tribes came, and each one on a succeeding day gave a special carbon, a special sacrifice. On the first day, the Nasi, the prince of the tribe of Judah, gave his sacrifice. On the second day, the prince of the tribe of Yisachar gave his sacrifice. On the third day, the prince of the tribe of Zvolun gave his sacrifice. And so on and so forth. And then, immediately afterwards, the beginning of this week's Sedra, the Torah says, Bahalos chesaneros, Daber el Aaron, speak to Aaron, the Amarte Elov, and you shall tell him, Bahaloscha Eseneros, when you light the candles, you raise up the candles, when you kindle the candles, what's the connection between these two things? And Rashi cites the Medrash that when Aaron saw that the prince of each of the tribes brought a special sacrifice on the day of and the 12 days following the dedication of the altar, Chol Shadaito, I would assume it means that he came somewhat depressed. He came depressed. The English translation says chagrined. It's a little more angry. Okay, I don't think that the Aaron became angry. Chol Shadaito means more depressed.
Every translation is an interpretation. interpretation.
Yeah, that's right. But sometimes it might have to do with the person who interprets
exactly.
it than the person that it's being that the Torah is telling us about. Anyway, I don't think that Aaron was chagrined. Okay, so he became somewhat depressed, because he became depressed, why he said all the leaders of each tribe brought a sacrifice, and Aaron was the leader of the tribe of Levi. Lo hu velo shifto, not him and not his shevet. Levi was excluded. Aaron was excluded. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, speak to Aaron and tell him, Shelcha gdola mishelahem. Your portion is greater than their portion. Why? Sha'ata madlik umeitiv es ha-menorah. You light and you fix the menorah. So the Ramban asks a question. Yeah, true, he lit the menorah, he fixed the menorah, whatever it is. But he did so many other things also. Why did God have to appease him, or so to say, by saying, you light the menorah? Aaron did everything. The davoda, the service on Yom Kippur, who did it? The Kohen Gadol did it. All the korbanos, who did it? Aaron and his sons, the Shevet Levi, the Kohanim, they did it. Why was the menorah singled out in the response to Aaron's depression? And the Ramban says, because many years later, when the Greeks will invade Eretz Yisrael and they will take control of the temple and they will forbid the Jews to practice the faith of their ancestors, so who will lead the battle? It'll be the Kohanim. And the Rambam actually, I think in the Geras Kiddush Hashem, he says that originally the Hashmonaim was just their family. It was a small band. He says most of the Jewish people were supporters of the Hellenists. And so who led it? It was Aaron HaKohen the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. And what mitzvah was enacted to commemorate this event? The mitzvah of lighting the menorah. The mitzvah of lighting the menorah. Now, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is unique in that all the service that was in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, those services come to an end. You don't have an altar in your house. You don't give korbanos in your house. You don't burn the Torah, the incense in your house. Huh? You light the only thing you do is light the Hanukkah candles. So that's what God told Aaron. Aaron, korbanos, that's something that is limited to the Beis HaMikdash. But there'll come a time when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And what service is going to be left from the Beis HaMikdash? Only the lighting of the menorah. And the lighting of the menorah, so shelcha gdola mishelahem. Your portion is greater than their portion. Now, I have a lot of problems with the answer of the Ramban, to be honest. First of all, the Medrash says, Shata madlik umeitiv es hamenorah. Now, for a question, we have to understand, why did it should really be in the other order. It should be meitiv, you should prepare the menorah and light it. And then the Torah here does not really talk so much about hatavas menorah. It talks about lighting the menorah, and the Medrash says, "Shatam madlik, you light umeitiv, and you prepare the menorah." So now I want to answer those questions. I want to suggest an alternative explanation of the Medrash, an alternative explanation to the Ramban. And it's based on there is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Most of the Rishonim side with Rashi about the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. According to Rashi, the menorah primarily was lit only in the evening, and it was lit throughout the night. And in the morning, the Kohen would come in, and he would put out whatever fires were still left. He would fix the menorah, cleanse it, so to say, dishon hamenorah, and he'd put in new oil, new wicks, and everything. But except for the Ner Maravi, except for the Western candle, whichever that was, so the menorah was only lit in the evening, according to Rashi. And during the day, except for the Ner Maravi, there was no light in the menorah. The menorah was only at night. That's Rashi's opinion. However, the opinion of the Rambam is, at least the way Reb Chaim understood it, there are those that understand it somewhat different, but the way my great-grandfather Reb Chaim explained it, the menorah was lit in the morning and in the evening. Well, sorry, I take that back. The menorah was in a state of lit. It was not the act of lighting, but it was in a state, it was giving off light 24 hours. And he says at night, they would come in, the Kohen who cleaned the oil would come in, and he would look at the menorah, and those candles that the light went out, he would take out the wicks, he would take out the oil, he would take out the ash, he would clean that area, and then he would put in new oil, he would put in new wicks, and whatever. However, those candles that remained lit, so he would fix the wicks. He wouldn't put out the fires. Those that were still lit, he would fix the wicks. He would remove the ash. He would prepare the menorah, but leaving it lit. And then in the morning, again, the Kohen would come in, and the Kohen would, those that were lit, he would fix it, let it remain lit, but those that went out, so he would remove it, clean it, and put in new oil, new wicks, and light. The Rambam's opinion is that the preparation of the menorah was done both in the morning and in the evening, and if it went out in the morning, it was relit in the morning. Because the Rambam's opinion is that the light of the menorah had to stay lit all day, meaning all night and all day. whereas according to Rashi's opinion, it was lit in the evening and had to remain lit throughout the night. That's the disagreement between Rashi and the Rambam. Now, the question is, and Reb Chaim discusses, I'm not going to go into the whole Reb Chaim here because it's somewhat on the complicated side, but Reb Chaim is somewhat troubled. Why is it? Now, Reb Chaim says that if the menorah, when can you have a zar light it? That's only if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're lighting it in the Heichal, in the spot where the menorah is supposed to be, then a Kohen has to light it. So, but let's say a Kohen didn't light it and somebody else lit it, it's still kosher. Reb Chaim wanted to understand. Reb Chaim raised a question. Why is it? And this was the question we raised at the very beginning. Why is it that if, when it comes to the fixing, the preparing of the menorah, that was more stringent, that required a Kohen under all circumstances, and that had to be done inside the Heichal. And if a non-Kohen did it, he was Chayiv Misa. But when it came to the lighting of the menorah, even a czar outside the Beis HaMikdash could light it. Why should it be that way? Why is the lighting of the menorah any less stringent? Since there is a special mitzvah of having a Kohen lighted inside the Beis HaMikdash, why don't we say that it requires a Kohen to light it inside the Beis HaMikdash? Why should it be different? Why should it be different than the preparation of the menorah, which certainly requires a Kohen? And Reb Chaim says like this. Now, I have mentioned in the past, there's a concept of Maisa HaMitzvah, and there is a concept of kiyum mitzvah, fulfillment of a mitzvah. I'll give you an example. The mezuzah, the act of the mitzvah is putting the mezuzah up, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah is having the mezuzah up. Having the mezuzah up. If you put it up and take it off, nothing's accomplished, right? So, when do I fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah? Every moment of the day. So long as the mezuzah is up there. So you have mitzvos that the act and the fulfillment are the same thing, but you have certain mitzvos that the act is one thing and the fulfillment is the other, putting up the mezuzah. The act of the mitzvah is putting up the mezuzah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is having the mezuzah up. So Reb Chaim said, and he said that the lighting, the lighting of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of menorah, the ultimate fulfillment of the mitzvah of menorah is in having the menorah in a state of being lit constantly. Every moment of the day. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. What is the Maisa HaMitzvah, the action? He says, it's not the lighting. The action is the fixing, the preparing of the menorah. That's the action of the mitzvah. That's the action of the mitzvah. He says, the lighting, that's also a mitzvah, but it's just the mitzvah of lighting it. There is no relationship between the mitzvah of lighting it and it remaining lit all day. However, the mitzvah of preparing the menorah to be lit, that is the action whose fulfillment is in its staying lit all day. Now, let me give you examples. And then, you know, sometimes we have to evaluate schools for our kids. We have to evaluate teachers. Sometimes we have to evaluate rabbis. Now, the question is, I had a friend, he passed away already. Most of you probably know him. He was well known in the community. I'm not going to mention his name because this was a certain criticism that he gave of institutions. But he at one time, he was a teacher in the day school system. And then, teachers had it rough in those days. Small salaries when they got their salaries. And so he went into business of some sort. And then, because of health reasons, he had to retire. But because he was a teacher, he was a master teacher. So whenever a day school, he needed a substitute. So he was there during his retirement years to substitute. And I asked him a question. I said, years ago you were a teacher, now you're a substitute. How does the schools compare in the old days to today? How does it compare? He was talking then about some of the Orthodox schools, that's where he taught. And he said to me, they're covering much more ground now than they used to cover. He says, but they're understanding it less. What's the idea? The idea is, sometimes we evaluate a school by how much ground was covered. How many pages of the Gemara? How many pages of the Chumash? How many pages of the Shulchan Aruch? How many siyumim they made? That's the big thing today. The big thing today is a siyum. I completed! In those days, they didn't complete. When you want to evaluate a school, I know it's hard to do that. It doesn't help you in deciding what school to send your child to. But if you want to evaluate a school, you have to look 20 years later. Don't evaluate it by what he does then and now. Evaluate it by the impact that it has 20 years later. The lighting of the menorah, that's the first moment. But when you fix the wicks and you fix the oil, that is what gives the flame the ability to last. The fulfillment of the mitzvah of menorah is keeping the light going, keeping the flame going. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, the lighting of the menorah, that's the first act. But what keeps it going? The quality of the oil, the quality of the wick. That's what keeps it going. This is how I understand it. The lighting of menorah is a separate mitzvah. But what's the action that brings down the fulfillment of keeping the flame going? The preparing of the oil. The preparing of the wick. That is what keeps the flame going. And that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is keeping the flame going in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash. So now we can understand why it's the Hatavas HaMenorah, the preparing, that is related to the fulfillment of the mitzvah more so than the actual lighting. There's another question that's always asked, and that question is in this week's Sedra, the Torah tells us, "Uviyom hakim es hamishkan," in the day the Mishkan was raised. And so, Uviyom Hekimes HaMishkan, that's on page 780. And the day the Mishkan was raised, and the Rambam says that we learn from here that Ein Bonin Es HaMikdash B'Layla, you don't build the base of Mikdash at night. You only build it in the day. And the question is asked, but the Rambam also says that everybody is required to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, men and women. And the question is asked. It's a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. You can only build in a day. Women are exempt from the mitzvah that are dependent upon time. Why are women required? There are many answers. I've mentioned it before. And there's a certain yisod that the Rugachevah says. The Rugachevah says, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the action of the mitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is in having a Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah of having the Beis HaMikdash, that's day and night, every day of the year. So it's not a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. I always say, you know, many, many synagogues, the main thing is the building fund. Buildings are important, there's no doubt about it. But more important is the having of the synagogue. There's one, I have a certain student who was probably one of the most, and ideologically we have somewhere parted ways. I don't know, parted, we might have always been in different ways. But anyway, but we still had, most of the time we still have a good relationship. He was a very popular rabbi in this section of the country. At a certain point, he might have been the most popular rabbi. He didn't put one penny in his building. He put all the money in programs. He focused on the programs rather than on the building. It's the having of the building. It's keeping the light going that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. I think with this in mind, we can answer all our questions. The question is, why was Aaron so upset? Why was he depressed? Or he says chagrined. Why was he so depressed? And the answer, I think, is because the giving of the korban, the sacrifice, by the Nesiim, was one time in Jewish history. One time in Jewish history. You know, sometimes you talk to somebody about an event, they say, it was historic! That's the word, historic! That's why it's important. It was historic. It happened once in history. So Aaron thought he and his Sheva were deprived of that historic event of participation. One time in the history of the Jewish people is the dedication of the Mishkan through the giving of these korbanos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Shalcha Gdol Mishlahem, your portion is greater than theirs. Shata Madlik Umeitiv Es Menorah, you light the menorah and you keep it lit. Madlik, you light it first. Besides, of course, you had to keep it lit beforehand, but you had to keep it lit afterwards if it remained lit. Shata Madlik Umeitiv Es Menorah, you keep it lit. That represents the idea of constant service. There is historic service and constant service. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, when it comes to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the constant service is the significant thing. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol represents the idea of constant service. The Nesiim, in a sense, went into oblivion. In the Nesiim, they participated in the historic event. But the constant service, that's the greater service. And the menorah, according to the Rambam's opinion, remaining lit throughout the 24 hours, consistently remaining lit, that represented the constant service of Aaron. So Aaron, b'haloschas haneros, Aaron was the one who had to light the candles. Aaron lit the candles, but more important than that, he was the one who kept the menorah lit. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Don't worry.
We're going to be davening Marav. I want to remind everybody there is no class next week, and there's no class July 4th. And I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos.